I want to talk to you today about prayer for the harvest. Prayer for the harvest. You know, it's a lot easier to talk about prayer than it is to do it. It's a lot easier to talk about prayer than it is to do it. Something done like that. But I want to talk to you about prayer. It's been a while since I have preached on the subject of prayer. So I got my concordance out and I started looking at some verses and putting them together and analyzing what they said. And I believe the Lord has given me something here. So if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, and we'll begin by reading the verses preceding the model prayer. And then we're going to look at some other verses. Prayer is the greatest untapped resource of power for the church and the Christian. Can I say this? We, the people of God, are delinquent in our praying. We are delinquent in our praying. And we have no right to talk to men about God until we have spent enough time talking to God about men. R.A. Torrey said, "The weakness of our preaching, the weakness of our witnessing, the weakness of our teaching is that we spend so little time talking to God about the condition of men." And in Matthew chapter 6, and beginning in verse 5, we begin reading. "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." They've got it right down here on earth. "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Then if you'll skip over to chapter 7 and verse 7. "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." And then if you'll look at the last scripture, Matthew chapter 9. In verse 35, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Now, if you want a good outline, here's one right here in Scripture. Verse 35 tells you what Jesus did. Verse 36 tells you what Jesus saw. "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." Verse 37 will tell you what Jesus said. "Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." And then verse 38, we find what Jesus commands you and I, the church, to do. Pray ye therefore. The Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for the privilege of being able to arrive here safely. And Lord, I do, my heart is heavy right now for those families that were involved in that accident. I don't know them at all, but I know that there's some families that are hurting right now. I pray that you'd minister to their needs. Thank you for what's happening here. Thank you for the messages that have already been preached. I pray that you'd bless each one. May we receive a blessing now from your word. Help me as I preach in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're talking about something today that we take for granted. We do this as a matter of course of every day of our lives. When we rise, we as preachers think about the Lord. When we drive to the office or to the hospital, we talk to the Lord. When we stand next to a person in the hospital bed, we intercede for that individual to the Lord. When we stand before our people, we pray before them. You see, prayer is an everyday part of a preacher's life. And I think that that is the problem. The fact that it's an everyday thing of our life. Because of that, it becomes so much a part of what we do that it becomes unimportant to us. Several years ago, we moved to our second home, and we wanted to move a little bit closer to the church. The church is in North Olmsted, Ohio, a suburb of Cleveland. And we had our children in Christian school, and the taxes were a little bit higher than what we could afford, and so we decided that we'd rather leave our children in Christian school, and so we still looked for a house in Cleveland so that the payments would be a little bit lower. And we ended up moving close to the airport. And I remember that first day that we moved in, and that night I was getting a phone call from somebody, and I had to say, "Would you wait a minute? I can't hear you." And so I had to wait a few minutes. Then I remember sitting down at the supper table and the family together and just talking, and all of a sudden the conversation had to stop and we had to say, "Let's wait till the plane flies over." And then I remember just trying to watch TV, and you had to turn it up real loud because the planes were flying over. And then Saturday nights, I like to always try to get into bed early. And I remember trying to lay down and go to sleep on Saturday night, and the planes were flying over, keeping me awake. And then early in the morning, they take off, and you got those window rattlers. And, you know, for about 2 months, I was like a zombie. But after 2 months, I remember my father-in-law saying to me when he was alive, he came over about a year after that, and he said, "Don't those planes bother you?" And I said, "What plane?" After about 2 months, what happened is I became adapted to the sound to the point that I did not even hear it. And I think that's the way prayer is. It becomes so much a part of what we do sometimes that it can become unimportant to us. Now, our Lord had a lot to say about the subject of prayer. And what He said to the disciples, and what He drilled into those men, and what He pled with them to do, and what He illustrated before their very eyes, and what they heard and watched and listened to Him pray. And now He comes to this point in His life when it's His dying hour, and He says, "Fellas, you wait here, and I need to go on a little bit further. You pray here and wait, and when I come back..." And we all know what happened when He came back. He found them sleeping. I mean, they were not even going through the motions of praying. They were sleeping. Now, I believe there's some things that the Bible teaches us about prayer. First of all, let me say, I believe that we should pray covertly. I believe the Bible teaches us that we should pray covertly. Look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, it says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Fellows, watch out when people congratulate you, how serious you take it. Be very careful about that. Don't take those congratulations too serious, because you don't want your reward down here on earth. I don't know about you, but I want to have a crown of glory to lay down at the feet of Jesus. And let me say this, don't be too modest about it either. Because sometimes when we're modest about it, people will praise us all the more. Take what they say thank you, let it go in one ear and out the other, and give all the glory to God. You know, we Baptists are good at giving God the glory as long as we get the credit. Amen? But let's give God the glory. Let's give God the credit, because He is God and He deserves it. And let's love Him because He deserves it, and He demands the very best and the highest that you and I have to give. Now, verse 6 tells us to enter into the closet. We are to pray covertly. Get in the closet. Close the door. Cover yourself up so people don't look at you and say, "Boy, isn't he holy?" Pray covertly. I remember several years ago trying to minister to a preacher's wife, preacher of 16 years, just decided one day to leave, packed his suitcase, left. And I remember trying to minister to his wife, and I remember saying to her, I said, "Did you see anything coming? Were there any signs? Was there anything that tipped you off that this was going to happen?" And she said, "Preacher," she said, "I knew that our marriage was in trouble when the only time I heard my husband pray was when he had his suit and tie on standing in front of the congregation." She said, "I knew then our marriage was in trouble." Listen, if the only praying you do is prayers heard by other people, you're in trouble. We need to pray a prayer only heard by the divine ears of the Heavenly Father. We need to pray covertly. Let me say, secondly, we need to pray corporately. We need to pray corporately. We need to pray together. We need to get with our spouses and pray. We need to get with our staff and pray. We need to get with our prayer partners. Fellows, we need to get with our staff and pray, not just when we need something, amen? Not just when we need something. But we need to say to God, "Oh God, if you don't intervene in this, we're sunk." You know, we cannot do this thing in our own human wisdom. I don't know about you, I've tried sometimes to do it in my own human wisdom, but I can't do it. We cannot, as preachers in Ohio, we cannot save the state of Ohio in our own human wisdom, but only God can do it. And the Bible teaches us that. "Unless the Lord keep the city, the watchman is awake, but in vain. Unless the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain build it." In other words, let me say this. If the Lord does not do it, it's better off not being done. Boy, I've had to learn that lesson. If the Lord doesn't do it, it's better off not being done. And it's not us men and ladies that moves the world, but it's God through us that moves through us that makes a difference. Pray corporately. Thirdly, let me say, pray confidently. Pray confidently. You know, Jesus says, "Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe and you shall have them." Believe and you shall have them. We ought to pray with confidence that we are going to see some things happen. And I want to tell you that nothing else in this world makes hell tremble any more than the prayers of a sincere, earnest man or woman of God. When we pray earnestly, the devil hates it. Amen? When we pray earnestly, the devil hates it. I remember several years ago, I have to say several because my mind just doesn't remember how many years ago things are now anymore. But several years ago, I had the opportunity to go down to Milldale, Louisiana, and going to a camp meeting. And I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to go to some of those. Some of them, people get a little carried away, and they're kind of exciting. Sometimes people don't. I love it when you don't have to shout on purpose, but when the God gets a hold of you and you shout, and I know some of those get a little out of hand, but we had a great time down there. I remember getting there, getting all my stuff put in the room that I was going to stay in, and I went into what all Baptist preachers do. I first of all went into the cafeteria and got something to eat, and that's good preaching, you know. And then I went over to the church, and in the church they had a list on the wall, and what they wanted to do was to get all the fellows that had registered to join in a night of prayer. They wanted to pray all night. And so they had our names on the list, and I went and I looked at the list, and my name was next to 2:30 in the morning. I thought to myself, I'm going to have a headache about 2 o'clock in the morning. But I remember I got up at got over there at 2:30. I don't remember what time I got up, but I got over there at 2:30, and we had to wait because the fellows that were in there praying went till about 3 o'clock. And then I remember we got in there. It's about five of us that had been on the list for that time, and we started praying around the room there. And we went around the first time, and it was about 3:10. And then we went around again, and it was about 3:30. And then we went around the third time, and I mean to tell you, all heaven came down. Because somebody started praying earnestly, and I remember one fellow saying, "Oh, God, you got to save my son. Oh, God, please save my boy. If you don't save my boy, he's going to die and he's going to go to hell, Lord." And then the next person began to pray like that. "Oh, God, please save my mama." And I mean, it just all broke out. And the next group that was supposed to come in after us, they got tired of waiting and they just came on in and joined us. And fellows and ladies, we prayed. It was 6 o'clock in the morning when we left that prayer room. I'm telling you, all heaven came down. And the next day when the preachers got up and preached, boy, the power of God was on them. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd love to be in a prayer meeting like that again. We prayed corporately and we prayed confidently, and God broke our hearts. You know, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Let me give you kind of a definition you probably never heard of that. That means don't ever be in any kind of attitude that you cannot pray. Pray without ceasing. Don't ever be in any kind of attitude that you cannot pray. Like the old lady that pulled into the parking lot and another guy beat her to her space. I mean, she zeroed in on a particular space that she wanted. And all of a sudden, she was ready to get into that space, and a little red sports car zipped in and got that space. Well, she was telling her preacher about it, and the preacher said to her, he said, what did you do? She said, "Preacher, I backed up that Mercedes-Benz about 20 feet, and I floored it, and I knocked that little sports car right out of that space." He said, "You did?" And she said, "Yes, preacher. And I tell you, I had a sweet Christian spirit all the time I did it." Now listen, you cannot do a wrong thing with a good Christian spirit. Amen? You cannot do a wrong thing with a good Christian spirit. You see, when you pray, and I've read a lot of books on prayer, and there's a lot of people that I respect, and I'm sure you've read some of the same books on prayer. But can I say something that might seem a little bit different from what we may have read? Prayer is not our way to get God to do something for us. But it is God's way of getting us ready to do something for Him. Now, I think that's what prayer is. You see, We pray when all else fails. Even we preachers do that. I mean, we try in our own human wisdom sometimes, and then when it fails, finally we get on our knees and we take it to God. It's kind of like the guy that was holding on for dear life, and he said, "Help, anybody out there that can help me?" And a voice came back and said, "Yes, my child, let go of the limb and all will be well." And he said, "Who is this?" And the voice came back and said, "This is God. Let go of the limb and all will be well." And he said, "Anybody else out there?" How easy it is to think that prayer is getting God to do something for us. We treat God sometimes like He's a genie in a lamp. We just go to Him in prayer to get Him to do something for us. Hey, we need to hold on to God until He's blessed us. You know, the old Pentecostals used to call it praying through. We don't do that anymore. Praying through. Prayer is also, I believe, God's way of getting us ready for service in His work. It's also His way of getting us ready for service in His work. You know, our eyes are too dry. Our eyes are too dry. When was the last time you had somebody in your church come to the pulpit or come to the altar and just cover it with tears, praying over a lost person? I'm hungry to see that in my church again. Our knees are not bent enough. Leonard Ravenhill said, and I quote, "I don't know whether Nero fiddled while Rome burned, but I know right now the church is sleeping while hell burns. And the only remedy is for Christians to get on our knees." Now, fellas, I don't agree with everything Leonard Ravenhill said, but I agree with what he said there. And I believe when we reach up and shake the gates of heaven like Knox did when he said to God, "Give me Scotland or I shall die," then and only then do I believe we'll understand what this thing of prayer is all about. It was said of Knox, Queen Mary of Scotland said, "I fear the prayers of that one man more than the armies of all the earth." Whew. Prayer is not just laying a burden down. Prayer is not just laying a burden down. You know, it's easy to pray when your heart is heavy. Amen? I mean, we have no problems. You got a big problem? You get a phone call? You have a financial crisis? It's easy to pray when you got a problem. But prayer is also God's way of giving us a burden. Prayer is God's way of giving us a burden. A burden for the lost. A burden for missions. A burden for evangelism. A burden for our families. We need a burden. Now, there are some burdens that we by prayer lay at His feet. I realize that. There are some burdens that we lay at His feet. But in prayer, I believe He also gives us a burden for the lost. But then I also believe He gives us a burden to know Him a little bit better. Prayer is not just telling God how we feel. Prayer is, listen to this, look at 1 Corinthians 2:16. 1 Corinthians 2:16, this is what prayer is. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him?" Here it is. "But we have the mind of Christ." Now, the implied answer is, we do. The implied answer is, we have the mind of Christ. And how do you get that? You get it by time in the Word and time in prayer. You know, prayer is not just a time for us to tell God about things, but it's a time for God to tell us. Lastly, let me say this, that prayer, I believe, is our weapon of attack. Prayer is our weapon of attack. Now, if you want to get the devil angry, pray. If you want to get the devil upset, pray. I know the Bible is the sword of the Spirit. I know what it says about that. But I also believe that prayer is our weapon of attack. Prayer will make the sword, the Word of God, more effective. It will also help us to wield it a little bit better. It will also help us to wield it with more force and more strength and accuracy. Men, we need to pray. And I'm talking to God's men today. God's women. We need to pray. I remember hearing a story about a fella in Alabama. His name was Jeremiah. They called him Jerry. But Jeremiah had an unusual way of praying. And every time he would pray, didn't matter whether it was for the offering, or if it was in a deacon's meeting, or if he went to the hospital to pray with somebody, wherever it was, he had an unusual way of praying. He would always start his prayer out like this. "Hello, Lord. This is Jerry." Every time he prayed, he'd start it out. "Hello, Lord. This is Jerry." Well, the people kind of wondered about that. They said, "Why in the world does he pray like that? Well, you know, every time he prays like that." And so finally, somebody got up enough nerve to ask him, "Brother Jeremiah, why do you always start your prayer out like that?" And Jeremiah said, "Well," he said, "I don't know." He said, "Just every time I bow my head and close my eyes, I just picture the Lord standing right next to me like you are. And I always say, 'Hello, Lord. This is Jerry.'" Well, years passed, and Jerry was getting close to dying. One day, the preacher went to see him, walked into the room, and Jeremiah said, "Hello, preacher." He said, "Oh, hello, Jerry. How you doing?" He said, "Preacher," he said, "one of the sweetest things happened to me today." He said, "I can't explain it, but," he said, "all I know is what I felt." He said, "It's almost as if the Lord came into the room here this morning and woke me up and said, 'Hello, Jerry. This is the Lord. You're going to be going home pretty soon.'" And you know, folks, one of these days, the Lord's going to come. And He's going to say, "Hello, Joe. Hello, Ken. It's about time for you to go home with me." We need to pray. Pray, pray, and when you're done, pray again. Pray, pray some more. "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into the harvest." Father, thank You for the opportunity to share this thought this morning. And Lord, how I want to spend more time in prayer myself. I pray that You'd help us as Your men, preachers' wives, lay workers. Help us to pray. Lord, we can't do it without You. And how we've learned that lesson, I don't know how many times I've learned it. Would You help us to pray? Remember what Your disciples asked You. They didn't ask You to help them to teach them to preach or teach. But they said, "Teach us to pray." Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.